In this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, I'm your host, Mr. Villain. And our special guest political influencer, Jagazis, dissects the Democratic Party's 2024 election loss. They explore why Kamala Harris and her message didn't connect with voters, why 14 million Democrats chose to sit this one out, and how key demographics like Latinos and working-class white women voted against perceived best interest. With facts, figures, and an eye-opening reality check, this episode dives deep into how the Democrats lost their edge, the implications of voter turnout, and the future of American politics. Join us for a thought-provoking discussion on where it all went wrong for the Democrats in 2024.
Let's hope the next will answer this. We're digging in, finding truth's core. What went wrong in 24?
Welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain, and today we're discussing a very particular topic that actually just happened recently. We have to address the obvious defeat of Democrats and our loss in the 2024 elections. They went into the race with Kamala Harris, the first female and first Black and South Asian vice president, running at the top of a ticket. With historic momentum and a supposedly strong platform, they were expected to succeed. Now they are we, but we didn't. Jagazis, what do you think happened? And welcome to the program, by the way.
Hello again, I should say. There's a lot of different things that happen. I think one of the big things is obviously communication and meeting people where they are really worried about certain issues. And just the fact that the best way I could put it is there's concerns that many Americans have, from inflation, obviously, and cost of goods.
Okay.
To immigration. And a lot of that was very, very much policy driven. And while Kamala had all the policies, I don't think the American people are very focused on policies. They just want to feel safe, and they want to feel like they are confident.
Okay.
And I feel like the messaging might have been a little bit off. Trump doesn't have any policies, but he made people feel confident. And I think that's the strategy. I mean,
so that's our disconnect, right? That's what we're, because to be honest with you, everybody's like, oh, and you know, I can't feel my dollars, and I don't see across the border, and there's too many people coming on a caravan. I never saw a caravan protruding the southern border. Eggs went up about 35 cents. The gas is down. The stock market is rallying. The GDP is at 2.1%. You've got the unemployment rate at 4.1%. It's probably one of the best economies we've had in a stretch of time right after a pandemic. I don't understand. So I think
that's the thing. Are people seeing the GDP when they look at their wallets? Are they actually feeling the stock market like going up and down? I don't know that the average person is. And so when they see that 35 cents, that could be a 35 cents that makes or breaks them. From paycheck to paycheck perspective, but they don't realize that it's not going to get better. Inflation is because of the companies. The companies are price gouging, and they're making billions in profit, and no policy is going to fix that at this point.
Right.
They're going to have to lose them on their bottom line, but now they're just going to get more tax write-offs in addition to those high prices, and we're still just going to be screwed. And if you add tariffs into that, now your price is going to be a dollar more per egg. So congrats.
Yeah, guys, Gigi, our co-host, Gigi, chime in on this, because I know you don't really have a leaning either way, but what do you think? What happened? What went wrong?
Well, what went wrong? I do believe, I actually kind of feel the complete opposite. I feel like it does come down to communication, but opposite, even though like for the instance with the debate, when I was watching it, to me, Trump came off like some tinfoil hat, like old man who has get off my lawn type status, energy.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh man, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. He's talking about like UFOs and crazy shit. And then
babies or dogs or whatever it was.
But then on the flip side, like Kamala wasn't really giving us like a plan. You know what I mean? Like people were scared about certain issues, and we just like wanted answers. And I feel like it was there was a lot of like deflection there. And I think that's the same thing, though.
I think that is the disconnect in communication, because while there was policy, I don't think it was communicated in a way like you can go read the policy. You know, you can read the 10, 20, 30 page plan on one specific thing, such as giving business owners $50,000 of debt free kickstarting. Like you can go read all of that and then see what the fiscal impact is going to be, what the economists are saying on it. But people aren't going to do that. So she doesn't convey it in a way of like, hey, business owners, I'm giving you free money. If she doesn't make it so simple in one line, no one's going to hear it. And
like, for example,
makes everything one line and people hear it.
Yeah.
Even though there's no policy behind it.
Exactly. Like, for example, I didn't even know that. Like, I've been kind of following both like pretty closely, and I didn't even realize that was even like a thing that they were pushing for or stating. So, and like, again, just comes down to communication. Like it was like a whole cluster of like reasons.
There was so much. Historically, the Democratic Party has been viewed as the party of the working class, but here we are in 2024 and something didn't stick with the working class. So how did Democrats get to a place where they couldn't even hold on to some of their core bases? We lost across the board. The American United States didn't look this red since Reagan ran the first time. I mean, there was red everywhere. So there was an extreme disconnect, a lack of communication, a lack of getting out there and knocking on doors, which Kamala said she was doing. But do you guys think, and an 800 pound, well, probably elephant's a little bit bigger. There's a big elephant in this room where people are talking about, well, she's a woman, so that's misogyny, and she's a black woman. Do you guys think that played a role in any of this? And be honest, I mean, If it did, it did. If it didn't, it didn't.
A million percent. We answered at the same time on the opposite.
Yeah, but I say I don't really. I can see how it can definitely have an impact. I don't think. I mean, it might have even been like a deciding factor, but I don't think it's like a huge. Like, if it was like neck and neck, I could see it putting Trump ahead enough to win. But like, yeah, not like a huge, like, oh man, like that's what was keeping her down this whole time.
Oh, I think the opposite. I think Minaj Noir, when you add those two things together, is deep. Yeah. But I think misogyny trumps it all, especially when you have people who live within the margins. And they're like, I love black people. I voted for Obama. Like, cool, bro. But there's so many people who still refuse to see a woman being able to hold a position of power that it is wild. And you can look at the interviews. You can go from just like the random people talking on the street, and it doesn't matter which side they land on. And this was my mom, even up until probably 2 years ago. But the number one complaint she had about Hillary Clinton when she was running was, I cannot see a woman holding that position. This is somebody who I've, over the years, turned into a very progressive thinking person. And even with all of her, like, she probably put a trans woman in the office before she put a woman in the office who sits. Because she's like, well, at one point, they identified as a man before they transitioned.
Oh my gosh.
So bad that they cannot. And it comes from, let's be honest, Christian, evangelical Christianity.
Fundamentalism.
Has this umbrella system where it goes God, then men, then women, then children. And there's a line of succession and submission.
Right.
And they cannot, even if it is a woman, even if it's a white woman, they cannot get over that hump mentally. And it makes it really hard for them to look at a woman in a professional sense. And I think that played a huge part in it. Because if people were voting on issues, Kamala would have won. If people were voting on woman power and let's go feminism, Kamala would have won.
I was with you 100%. I know what you're saying. So we're
she unfortunately is up against this wall. I made a TikTok about it the other day. And you know what, man? I think we're not going to have our first woman president by election and by elective choice. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't remember who said it, but there was a president in the past. And
it was Lyndon B. Johnson, who's to
say it? It's
only going to happen in this particular circumstance, which we had it happen exactly the way he said it was going to happen. And you're right. If Kamala, I would say Kamala has her foot in the door. She's still very young. She could easily do it again because Joe Biden took it in three times to become president. When he ran three different times. She could, but are we going to back her the same way we did this time? $1 billion worth of backing?
I don't think so. And I think it will take somebody being vice president and stepping in, and then not by force, I won't say that because that comes across wrong, but I think by default, becoming the president is the only way. And people are saying, no, I don't want it this way, but I made a TikTok calling for it, saying, I wish Biden in these last 3 months would step down. I wish he would resign. Okay. So for the next 3 months, we have Kamala as a president. And people will see that the world doesn't burn. Like, we don't need to get anything passed, but we just need to see that wars aren't going to start, because that was their number one complaint.
That women wars start wars. Some of the strongest leaders in history were women. People don't pay attention.
And they don't generally start wars. All the wars have been men. But, like, they just need to see that she can handle the office for even a 3 month period before we'll ever elect another woman. And I think this is the time to do it. Yes, it wouldn't be like winning. It wouldn't be like women breaking the glass ceiling. But then the people,
they would have to put her in the
have an experience to look at and say, oh, it's possible.
So, Gigi, you're a cis man. What do you feel about this? Do you think that Joe Biden should step down right now and give his VP a chance to kind of not shatter the golden glass at the ceiling, but kind of look through it a little bit so people can see her running in office?
Well, I don't think it's going to be looked at like that. I think it's going to be looked at more like a political stunt as opposed to, like, you know, as to like what it actually could be. Like, hey, let's like see that she can actually do this. I feel like the majority of America would think it's like a stunt, you know, like, oh, we just wanted to get the first woman president. We wanted the first woman president to be a woman of color. That's where I feel like a good bit of people would take that as my opinion. So we've like, seen it's kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know,
has anybody got the text message that says report to the cotton fields at 800 hours?
Is it not visibly message? Black? So I haven't gotten those, but yes, I know it's happening.
Well, you can't be black with them blue eyes though, but you know, I'm kidding.
Where are they finding, is there a registry of black people out there? That's what I'm most confused about. So like for the listeners who don't know, there are vast amounts of text messages going out to black Americans saying anything from, we're going to be at your house tomorrow to round you up.
Right.
Or on January 20th, you need to report to the cotton field.
Mm-hmm. This is all facts.
That from, you're going to start calling me massive, like text messages from
random numbers
and varying degrees of like, we know where you live, we will be there tomorrow, to just being like kind of a troll, but like some of these are like really doxing situations.
They're going out to many individuals. Is there
a list out there, like how is this happening? Well, is there just like I'll a list of this. Like here's all the black Americans to text?
Well, I mean,
how are they getting this information?
Anytime you put in through an application, they ask you what your race is, which I have no idea why that's a thing.
I don't believe that either. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's stupid. I know that people get, I mean, corporations get a tax write-offs for it if they hire somebody in this race. But I thought that we just disbanded affirmative action. So why are you asking for my, if I'm disabled, if I'm a veteran, if I'm black, if I'm white, if I'm Hispanic?
Well, veteran makes sense. That's a little different.
It never has made sense. But I think when they dox these like AT&T companies and these other places, and they steal all their data, they know who we are. It's in their data who we are. So yeah. I think that's how they get. Yeah, that's what I believe. No, but going back to what we're talking about here. So I believe that the message that Kamala Harris was giving out, and it, look, guys, 14 million Democrats from 2020 stayed home this election. They chose not to participate. The Democrats, that's a key, because Trump didn't win by 14 million. He won by a very small margin. So if those 14 million Democrats came and voted in this election, it would have been a landslide. So why didn't they do that?
I don't believe it yet. I'm on a page. I won't say like conspiracy theories. I'm not gonna go as low as the Republicans did.
No, it's not.
I'm not saying that like things are fraudulent. No, I'm not saying the math isn't mathing. Okay. I don't think that many people did stay home. I think that, well, firstly, we're not done counting, so I think those numbers will rise. I mean, California takes a week alone, and that's going to be at least 5 to 7 million votes that will come in. Okay. So I think that number is going to vastly change. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to swing the electoral college any. Like,
no,
California's already delegated where California's delegated. It's not going to change the electoral vote. But I do think the popular numbers are going to be coming a little closer as we go on. However, there are so many instances in this case where, again, I won't say voter fraud, but there are 3,000 ballots that were missing in Montana, where people reported just straight up like not getting their absentee mail-in ballots, and they had to send out emergency FedEx overnight deliveries of those ballots because they were sued in court.
They were burning down the mail ballots in Washington, where you are, Gigi.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I know a lot of people who were literally forced to get on a plane and fly back home to vote in person because they didn't get their absentee ballots.
And then,
of course, there's the bomb threats. There's the places that literally had to shut down voting for 2 to 3 hours at a time to be cleared. And
they said that came from Russia and Iran, who
they
have been actively trying to assassinate Donald Trump since the beginning.
I don't know if Russia's trying to assassinate
him. It's Iran.
Iran's been trying to assassinate him, but I think Russia's been protecting him. Between him and Elon. I mean, Elon and Russia.
So that's a good point that you make. Gigi, what do you think about this whole situation? Because this just happened a couple of days ago. It's very fresh in our memory, very fresh in our minds. What's your perspective? What do you think?
Are you talking about the election in general?
I think we have bits and pieces of why Kamala may have lost. What do you think? What do you think is coming ahead? with the Trump presidency. Number two,
I mean, it's hard to say because as Gaysis said, the inflation is not necessarily caused by what the president can affect in the economy. It's like they were blaming inflation. However, like profit margins weren't staying the same, which means that like it would be rising with the cost of like inflation. Okay. Instead, profit margins like skyrocketed more so than they had in like all of history. So it's like, why is that a thing? If you know the economy, people are like quote unquote aren't like spending because they're scared, but like yet your profit margin's going up. It's because cost of goods are artificially being raised.
Yes, it's gouging. Yeah,
I feel like they saw an opportunity to raise their price because of inflation, and they went balls to the walls with it.
Oh, well, I agree totally. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, I just
cost of goods went up 2%, so they raised their price by 10%, and then when they have no ramifications from it, then they raise it another up to 15% total, and they're like, we have to cover that 2% cost of good raise. That's why we're charging you 15% more for our bottom line.
Yeah, and
instead of meeting it equally.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's perfectly skewed to this time. And the low information voter will say, oh no, it's the president's fault. He's in office. He's the guy that controls the purse. He's the guy that controls what we spend. No, that's all wrong. I wish more people you don't have to over engross yourself in politics. You don't have to do that. But just learn the basics. Anybody remember how to make a bill? It came on PBS. This is a bill from Capitol Hill, blah blah blah.
House Rock.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Can we get people more civil into how this stuff works?
I mean, we do, and that's the other issue that we have. Actually, this is the whole thing, Mr. Villain. Is we have exactly those things going on, such as PragerU, and the whole issue is they're right wing media think tanks. The messaging is coming out of these propaganda machines that are conveying a message in a very easy to consume way, such as PragerU directly at kids is what their target is. But then you also have the conglomerates. They all sit together. When you think of the Daily Wire, you think of PragerU, you think of these spokespeople, they're a very well-oiled machine. And you don't have to go as crazy as like Alex Jones, but look at Joe Rogan. Look at the numbers that Joe Rogan brings in on his podcast. And they are all in lockstep with each other. If you look at the number, I think the top 20, the top 20 podcasts in America that are political or news oriented, 15 out of 20 of them are right wing podcasts.
Yeah.
There's only two that are considered left leaning. And then there's
and
couple
this is the new like
NPR balanced ones. But
this is true.
And they all have the same little circuit and they have the same messaging. And I think Kamala Harris ran an almost flawless campaign, but I think the one thing they did really, really right was their social media strategy in terms of how they had their TikTok and their memification. They had Gen Z up in there pumping them out and they were great.
Yeah.
But I think the messaging issue again is you saw Trump and more so his surrogates go on places like Rogan. You saw him go on Candace Owens' show. You see him sit down with Shapiro. You see him sit down with these people. And that's how people are getting their media. They're getting their media from these things like PragerU that distill the information into something that they can understand. Whereas Kamala Harris was still going after the mainstream media. She was still sitting on Fox News. She was still sitting on CNN. And that's not where people are watching.
I feel like there's a huge switch, like or a huge flip. Like a lot of people don't even trust the mainstream media anymore, whether it's Fox News, CNN, like all of them. Like, to be honest, there's a lot of times where like I'm looking for a news source, and if it's from those websites, then I'm just probably going to skip it because there's some sort of bias. In my opinion, I feel like it's going into. I'd rather watch like people talk about it on a podcast, whether it be either right-leaning or left-leaning. It's just, I feel like it's a more genuine conversation.
Oh, it is. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we've asked Jay Gazes, who's a great special guest of ours, and his TikTok is booming, and because he does the right kind of mix of politics and just common knowledge stuff. And I think that more people get their information from these kinds of places, and they need to be able to understand who's got their best interests ahead. I mean, and I can tell you right now, I don't believe it's Donald Trump. I don't think he's thinking about you the way you guys think he is. I mean, am I wrong for that, guys? I mean,
no, Donald Trump thinks about one person, and that's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He is a grandiose narcissist, and anyone who knows anything about a narcissist in their life or outside, maybe you have even a professional way to diagnose him, but you can see that from a mile away. He cares about his interests, and again, he's really brilliant at his messaging in the fact that he says, "I love my people, and as long as you're one, you're his people, you feel safe." But well, the whole wait till the leopards eat your face thing, because he doesn't. He doesn't love women. He doesn't love Latinos, but the Latino votes showed up for him anyway.
They did.
Even though he stands up there and says, "I hate migrant people and I want to support everyone." They're wanting to denaturalize people. That's already started. They started filing already to denaturalize people. That is already, as of yesterday, happening. So not only illegal, quote unquote, immigrants, but also people who are citizens are going to be having their statuses revoked.
Yeah.
So,
but look, guys,
I'm still astounded. I can't speak on it because I'm not Latino, but the fact
that
like that is just astounding.
From what I understand, though, the Latino vote, a lot of it was because they respect and kind of like in their country, they're very traditional. So they have more of a traditional culture. So even though like it's kind of like I feel like they have a lot of similar feelings that I feel about Trump, like, whatever, you know what I mean? But like if they feel like he respects their values and like more traditional values, I feel like that's what swayed them over Harris.
Yeah, but like what are traditional values? That's the question. Is
like they're very
traditional values. I think abortion and I think marriage, and I think those are things that are fed to people. I don't think those are issues they actually care about. I think those are issues that they have been told to care about, and people don't sit down and actually investigate within themselves if this is something that affects their life or something they actually care about. People who are like, "I hate abortion," are the same people that may never, ever have to have that decision in their life, right? If they don't want to get an abortion, they don't have to. They could go every single day and talk to every single woman they ever see and never know whether the woman they're talking to has received an abortion or not. It doesn't affect their life at all. And yet they think it is so personal to them that they will base their entire decision. They will throw their entire country away over this one issue that in reality has nothing to do with them. And I think it's only because it's been told to them and pushed into their brains that this is something you have to care about. And you're a bad person if you don't care about. That they actually think that they are. In reality, it affects them none. So this traditional values thing means you're willing to let your family and your loved ones get deported.
Yeah.
You're willing to let all of your money go because of the tax hikes and the inflation and the tariffs because you care about this fake issue of abortion.
Right.
That's crazy to throw that all away because you're afraid to be untraditional. It's just, it's wild to me. I can't understand it.
I'm not traditional by any means, but so I kind of understand where they're coming from though. Cause that's like, again, that's their culture. So like when it's not just so embedded in themselves and in their household and their family structure, it's in the society.
Yeah.
So when they
but
they bring that with them.
But it's not.
It is.
Within the Hispanic culture, the only thing that is within their culture is the fact that they have been so colonized. The fact that Catholicism runs so deep within the Hispanic culture is because, again, it's been forced on them. This is an idea and a religion that has been forced on them. If we go back into the actual culture, then you're going to find, you know, the old brujas with great medications and herbal remedies that will be able to self-abort because they've been doing this for thousands of years. It's the Catholic white man who told them this is an issue. And even the Catholics didn't see it as an issue until the 1830s, because before then it used to be an issue of the quickening, which is around the 26th week of pregnancy. That's when it becomes a moral decision and you go to your priest. But it's not in the culture. It's in the white men telling you this is an issue for political gains.
Yeah.
It's an emotional manipulation technique, and it's something that the evangelicals learned from the Catholics in the 1960s, and they decided to make the moral majority to start telling everybody that we have to be the moral high ground because they were upset over what? Racism. They could no longer segregate their schools, and they couldn't use that as a political voting point. And it all comes back to this fake, you are a bad person if you don't vote with the Republicans. And people believe it. People believe they are a bad person for not voting Democrat.
It's just crazy.
I mean, and they don't think about it. People don't think about it that deep. That's my issue.
It's true. Yeah.
Democrats bad, Republicans good. Democrats evil, Republicans Christian.
We're gonna own those libtards.
Yeah. There's Christians who are Democrat. Like it's not only possible, it actually aligns more with Christian moral values to want to feed the poor, to want to help those who are needy. Like that's more Christian. But they're so convinced that Republican is Christian, and that tie is what's broken politics. Because it didn't used to be like this in the 50s. 95% of Americans were Christian in the 50s, but you still had an equal 50-50 party split. Right. Now it's only Christians or Republicans, and then there's the other side. And I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox, but I'm done.
No, I love it. Gigi, what do you feel about that? Because you're not technically Christian or Catholic, but you are Italian, and that's kind of where the birthplace of Christianity
We killed God, all right? We killed him. All right. Stuck him to a wooden stick and fucking right. left him die.
What right? was you guys say it?
Yeah, stop blaming it on the Jewish people.
Yeah.
I'm the first one to say it. Romans are the ones that killed God. That's my people.
All right. And for the record, Jagazis is part Jewish, so we can kind of get away with some stuff. That's all I'm going to say.
And I am also part Italian, so.
And yeah, I'm just black, so. I can say what we want.
You're the racist. No,
I really am. No, I'm not. I'm not a racist. But here we go, guys. And it's beautiful thing that we talk like this. You can have differences. It's okay. And you can have fun with people who have differences. Everybody's so serious about everything. But there is a reason why. Because the Latinos and white women have voted against our interests so much that they put us in a perplexing box where we can't choose to take care of women's health because the majority of the women in America are white women, and they went for Trump over 56%. And then you have the Latinos who are becoming a majority minority, aside from Asians, and they went for Trump for about 67%. So what does that leave us with? If we're trying to help these two sects out and they don't clearly want the help now, but will they come back later in the future? Say like, you know, get these guys off me. They're trying to drag me out of the States on the southern border. And the women are going to say, hey, I can't get an abortion and do my own female, requirements with my doctor. Where do we stand as the people who are trying to fight for two people that aren't us? They're not.
And it's not even like you want to know who showed up. It was black women. Black women held this thing together, and everyone let them down. And they're the ones who have been putting in the groundwork, doing all the grassroots work. Not just for this election, for the past fucking 60 years, black women have been holding together every civil rights movement, every progressive movement, every gay rights movement. It's been on the shoulders of black women. And then the one time when all women needed to come together, white women failed.
I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get hate mail because I've gotten hate mail before, but I don't really care. White women have always been the cause of dissection. And you have to understand that white women was the number two slave owners in America at one point in time. So that should tell you where the mindset is. They own 47 to almost 52% of slaves right after white men. So I don't know what that means, but they're definitely not on the side of the people who think a little bit clearly about all of us. And I can get hate mail. People are going to stab at me. I don't care. I was going to say it.
And it comes back down to misogyny, like we started out the episode with. It really is. It's self-internalized misogyny. As well as the complicated issue of it's not ever going to happen to me. You know, if we wanted to say, I hate making abortion a single issue thing on either side, I don't think single issue voting should ever exist. Yeah. But if you are talking to these women who voted against their own interests, it's because they believe they're probably a mom with two kids and they've already done this. They're like, well, I'm never going to need to have an abortion. It could never happen to me. True. Not thinking about their daughters, not thinking about their sisters, not thinking about the fact that it still could be you. You could be 40 and get pregnant by accident and have, God forbid, a really terminal pregnancy because you are so old. And it will happen to you. And you're going to only find that out when you're on your deathbed, like the few women that passed in Texas over the past.
Yeah, not in Texas.
Being denied medical care because they were not dead yet.
Yeah, because they have to deliver stillborn babies here. And that's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. It's horrible.
I'm glad you brought that up. The point that you just made about, oh my gosh, I just slipped out of my head. Oh my goodness.
What do you mean about the abortions, or you mean about white women being?
Okay, yeah. So I don't think necessarily like it's okay or even like helpful to kind of like categorize like a group of people like that. Like I don't think it's very helpful to be like, oh, it's they probably have one or two kids. They don't really care about abortion. Cause like, I think there's a very like strong mixture. I don't think abortion is what really for like white women is what's, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, there's extremists, obviously.
They're not even having babies.
But I think there's a lot of other aspects that were happening, too. Like, I feel like a lot of women feel like the school systems were getting out of control. Like, I've heard, like, a lot of stories about, you know, I mean, I don't know the details, and I'm not going to sit here and spread, like, this, that, and third. But pretty much where, like, the school district's trying to, like, distance the parents from their kids. And that...
Were you mean, like, burning their books, or...
No,
or teaching them about critical race theory or not?
Yeah, like and like I agree, like it does need to be taught and like to a degree, but a lot of families were pushing back against that, and school districts were like, you know, screw you. And I feel like that was another aspect that caused the election to shift so heavily.
Look,
that's just my opinion.
It comes down to branding.
I don't agree with it.
Branding again. But this thought that education is somehow the devil, and that
we don't want you to know what we did.
Problem that needs to be removed. It helped Trump. It really did.
It really did. And you know, Jesus is right. And Gigi, you're kind of right too. I mean, you're absolutely right that with these school vouchers and these post segregation tactics to keep schools segregated again. My mom went to a segregated school. This is within reach. My mom's still very much alive and kicking. And she went to a segregated school, a little girl named Ruby, who was the first black girl or even black kid to go and segregate schools or unsegregate the schools. She's still very much alive. So this is something you can.
Do I know who else was a product of busing in the segregation era? Kamala Harris.
Yes. Through Joe Biden. No, he wasn't. Joe Biden didn't do it to her directly, but he did vote some kind of strange ways.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. But I understand what you're saying, and Gigi's absolutely right that there is white fear and white guilt, and it gets mushed up in the same, and it's our allies too, guys, that we have to be very, very careful, but very, very vigilant at the same time to understand that our allies that happen to be Caucasian and white are the same, it's not the same enemy, but they're within that same realm. And we have to be careful to make sure that we know that there are allies and that there are other people who are not our allies, but they share the same race. I mean, does that sound?
Yeah. And no, I mean, that comes down to, in terms of like the groups and generalization and addressing that whole thing, the people who are allies, or better yet, advocates, are people who won't be offended by generalizations. Yeah. They are people who know exactly where they are and their place in this. The people who do the work to deconstruct, to decolonize, to do the most anti-racism work that they can, they're not going to be offended at all if I say, hey, white woman, it's your fault. They're going to be like, damn straight, that's true. Or at the very most, they'll feel uncomfortable and they'll sit with that uncomfortability for a second, and then they'll be okay. The only people who are going to get upset about that are the white women who... It is their fault.
I really feel that way.
It's not that. It's like the people that actually like want to be on your side. Now you're grouping them together too, and not hearing why, you know, they're concerned about certain things. So that's
Think that comes back down again to them having an issue with brainwashing. And honestly, like, the fact that they've been able to make an education thing this key issue has been also, like it was just said, based on fear. And I think they don't admit why guilt's a thing, so I don't know how that gets mishmashed in there. But yeah, the fear of critical race theory being taught when they can't define critical race theory. The fear that they're going to go to school, as Donald Trump says, one gender, and then get a transgender surgery and come home a different gender. As if that's ever happened in the history of
anything. I don't know.
Like, he can say the most insane things, and then people are like, oh my God, Bobby is going to be at a second grade class and come home Tina, and all of he's going to have a vagina overnight. Like, they believe this. And they think the fact that they're able to be gullible into this.
But
and it's an issue.
But it's to counter the brainwashing,
that they need a face.
It is brainwashing.
But to counter the brainwashing, though, like, you, like the people who you feel may be brainwashing, like, it comes down to communication 100% every time. So it, like, by attacking, being like, it's your fault, this, that, and the third, you're not making any middle ground.
But this is the issue I have right now. And this is only going to be me within the week of the election. And okay, I'll say this in a way that I think I can be clear about it if I still have the words in my head. Like, I'm at that point where it's like, fuck that, first and foremost. And second of all, like, fuck that again, because I am so tired of having to be the middle ground and being level-headed and explaining to people. Like we said, it's a communication issue. And do you want to know who's not having a communication issue?
Yeah.
People who are running around with underwear on their head at Trump rallies saying, go home, insert slur here, I don't want you in my country. They get to be loud. They get to be aggressive. They get to be politically incorrect. And they get a win. So have to be demure, and I have to explain the situation and give the policies and give the numbers and be educated, and then not be mad when I see rights ripped around from people, is just, I'm over it. Right now, I'm probably going to be calm in like a week, but right now I'm at that point where I'm like, fuck that. If they get to be loud, I should at least be louder at this point. I should be more unhinged. I should be freaking crazy right now.
Because
people's rights are getting taken away. And being calm did us nothing.
Yeah,
they get to be crazy all the freaking time.
Like, this guy has
crazy a little bit.
Oh yeah, and this guy has a full agenda. He already knows the guy that wrote the Project 2025 book is going to be top of the cabinet. And then you have RFK Jr. and he's going to be in charge of Health and Human Services. And you have Elon Musk going to be the regulatory guy. The guy that fires people if they don't work 14 hours a day for 7 days a week. And you want that guy doing regulations?
Elon in any cabinet position is wild. He's almost as bad as Trump with like collapsing companies.
It's crazy. Gigi, do you agree with that, at least? That if he's going to be the president, and he is, he's the president-elect, can we just get some real doctors, sciences in these positions, not his best friends who gave him money?
I mean,
Schedule F is
absolutely. But at the same time, you used to say, like, you know, years prior that, like, that's not what other presidents were doing. Like,
no, they were.
At the name of the game, no matter, like, and again, I'm not saying I agree with it, but like, this is just human nature. If just by observation, like, it's not how hard you work, it's who you know. So
cronyism's always at play, but it's usually been cronyism in the sense that you're still qualified for the position. Like,
that's true.
It's debatable.
It's been like, here's my department guy, but he's been working his entire life to be an environmental lawyer, and then he was on a board, and then he ran for Congress, and then he became a special interest lobbyist for environmental groups specifically around the rainforest.
And right.
The past 40 years, he's been doing this. So he's going to be the guy that's on the EPA, but he's also my best friend. And we went to Harvard together. Like, cool. But at least he's been doing that for the past 40 years.
Yeah, at least he knows.
Meanwhile,
what he's
Trump comes
about.
In is like, Elon gave me $75 million for my campaign. So I'm going to give him a position of something he's never freaking done before.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different kind of cronyism. Yeah. Where it's like Betsy DeVos, he made her education minister. Oh, like, she was not qualified
even back his campaign, just so you know.
Yeah, so after she was done, she said he's a nut job, and she's one of the many people who worked with him and no longer work with him and stood against him. But she's crazy. She's a crazy one.
Her brother runs BlackRock. I mean, I don't know if he still does, but back in the day he did. So,
Her husband.
Okay. Yeah. And just a segue into this, Trump is a big fan of eugenics, where he believes he has the blondest hair, the bluest eyes, the whitest skin, and his kid, and you know, I don't like to bring kids in this, but Barron Trump is fucking Frankenstein, and he looks like goddamn Lurch. And I don't know if I want to say that, but this fucker is 7 foot fucking tall. How do you get a 7 foot tall kid, and you're the tallest person in your family for generations? Yeah, that's
some physical shit. He is so tall. I was noticing that when he was on stage. Excited. I was like, how did he get so tall?
Political analysts
actually say that he's played a part in garnering the Gen Z vote. Because if you look at social media, they look at him as a sex symbol. And they're like, he is so fun. I want to call him Prince Barron. He's going to be taking over for his daddy someday. He's like the smarts of Trump, but the looks of, like, I don't know, man. The young kids are all over the... It's because he's tall. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go on the record. That's a CRISPR baby. I remember when CRISPR first came out about 20 years ago, when they could splice DNA and give you blue hair, blonde eyes, a fat dick, whatever. That's CRISPR. That fucking kid is goddamn Lurch, and I'm sorry, that's eugenics. That's him playing around with DNA. I don't care. I'm going to say it. Don't you think so, Gigi? God damn.
I mean,
it's something I feel like I got about.
I think my parents paid extra to have to for the opposite. I don't have the fat dick. I have acne Gigi's, eczema.
Well, I won't go into
it. Just kidding. But no.
He's 6'9". I know you're straight cis male, but this kid is 6'9". There's no one in Trump's family that's past 6 foot.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, to be completely honest, I don't really listen to Trump speak for too long.
Right.
For obvious reasons. it can be very annoying. He just kind of runs on and says the same thing. But you're right. He's just very, I have this. This is the best. The paper that I've read this document on was the best paper. from the best press and the. With the best ink, it's like, what the fuck? I don't give a shit about any of the things you just said. But that's just kind of like, I wouldn't doubt it if he was like obsessed with like his eyes or whatever, and the best hair or whatever. But I mean, shit, if you got the money, I would not even remotely be surprised. I mean, you see what people do to themselves, like let alone what they can do for their
kids. If you get a few extra $1 million, you can just because
people put themselves in their kids in the sense of what I'm lacking, I want my kids. I want to see myself through my kids and everything I want through my kids.
When I talk about Trump being into eugenics, this is documented. This is real shit. I'm not making any of that stuff up. And he was backing CRISPR back in the day when he was in The Apprentice. So this is good. I'm just tying in the knots here. I don't know if it's all.
I never thought about it in that sense, but I mean, like, hey,
anything's
possible. But I know he's into eugenics. I just never really thought about CRISPR coming into play.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Remember CRISPR?
I mean, it's not, it hasn't gone anywhere. Of course, I remember CRISPR. I mean, you can choose.
Well, we don't know this bloody word, but we are common folk. Or what do we call it? Yeah.
Peasants.
We're peasants.
Whores. Prostitutes in the streets.
Ooh, that's a Saturday night. What is it? Oh, my God. Right. It's coming up.
Live from New York.
What that means, guys?
Saturday night.
One of the most surprising elements of this election was the low turnout from historically Democratic demographics. 14 million Democrats reportedly didn't even show up. And we talked about this. And Gates has let us know that, you know, we still have numbers to go. We still got to calculate and, you know, figure out who did what and when. But we lost some key area in all 7 battleground states, including California. California lost a lot of counties that normally go Democrats for the last 20 to 25 years. Some that were permanently blue are now red. And I mean, to be honest, it's kind of, and so did Texas. Texas kind of was in 5 points of going to Kamala. She had won Texas, been over. So I think, As a Democrat, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I think that we need to focus on the battleground states, not so much the big ones. Like, we need Pennsylvania, we need Florida back, we need Texas, we need California. If we get those 4 states, It doesn't matter. I mean, we're almost there. We're close enough to get to the point where we can touch it. We can feel it. So I think that that starts today. Like, that starts now. We need to be formulating a great grand strategic plan to rethink the map, the board. Only thing that matters is those 270 electoral college votes, right? So what do you guys think about that? Do you think we need to start earlier? Because I think that 100 days for anybody, let alone a Black woman, it's an unsurmountable task. 100 days to campaign, get money, do the thing. He had 2 years. We had 100 days. What do you guys think?
I think we need to burn it all down.
Okay. I like that.
I think we need to just take the Electoral College and shoot it out back like a dog.
No, you know where that came from, right? You know the Electoral College is an
racism.
Old slavery thing back in the day.
It came over concerns of the slave states having too many heads to count.
Yeah.
It came over. Yeah. Like most things in America, it's racism. Yeah.
It's racism still here.
Yeah.
300 years ago. Still here.
Yeah, but people can't see a future without it. But it needs to be done with. We need to not have the Electoral College. We would stop having these issues.
We would.
Because I'm pretty sure when the rest of the votes are coming in, I don't think he's going to have the popular vote. I know he does right now, but I don't think he'll keep it.
Okay.
Because then if, you know what? I'll go on record saying this. If he wins the popular vote, then I will go on record saying there's definitely something happening with voting fraud. And I'm going to sound like one of those 2020 January Sixers and say something happened.
So do you believe there's a tinge of voter fraud in this? You think Putin?
There's definitely been, there's election interference. There is election, what's it called? Voter intimidation happening. Yeah. Like, I mean, we have these things on record. We saw the ballots on fire. We saw the ballots not getting mailed out. We saw the bomb threat shutting down polling locations.
Yeah,
we
Washington, where GPS
the same shenanigans the Republicans always do, especially in Georgia, but where they have something like 70 square miles and only one polling location. Like,
it's true.
It's
they don't want you to vote.
We know that they do stupid things. Like, that's just done. Whether there's actual fraud or Elon going in and hacking each individual voting machine, I don't know.
I mean, he has the wherewithal to do it.
He is meeting with Putin.
Yes.
And he was very invested in this election, so he could have done a lot of things.
Actually,
he made a public statement saying anything can be hacked in regards to the polling machines because they're offline. They talk about the efficacy of how no one can hack them because they're offline. And he said, anything can be hacked, and he's gonna
hold on here.
Yeah, so I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm not saying he didn't do it.
There's no way that Trump loses the popular vote, and we have a record amount of registrations for the Democrats. We had a record amount of registrations, and then all of a sudden, it's not even that. Let's think about it like this: there was 80 million votes in 2020 for Biden. Right,
one,
and then we had record million, I don't know how many, but record amount of registrations. So we should have at least those 80 million plus all these new registrations. And there's only 60 million votes for Kamala. Yeah. We went from 80 to 60. That doesn't make sense. The numbers don't add up. So if it stays like that and he wins the popular vote, something definitely happened. I will say it. I'll sound like a conspiracy theorist.
Gigi, are you gonna bite onto this conspiracy theory about election fraud and all these good things that go on?
Well, I think election fraud is present in every election. Just being completely honest, I don't think any side plays completely fair, because if they can cheat, then they're going to cheat. Like, it's the highest level of competition, but competition's competition. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And I don't agree with it, but I can definitely It would not even remotely surprise me. I'll be more surprised if somehow it could be proved that there was absolutely 0% voter fraud in any election. I would be way more, way more surprised, and be like, yeah, by the way, there's been voter fraud. No shit. it's the sky is blue too. You want me to fucking have a conversation about it? You know, but I'm not saying it's a big deal, but I'm just saying I feel like that's going to be something that we are going to be battling with for all of American history moving forward. It's like, what do you do? Because like any system created by man can be exploited by man. You know, a lock only keeps an honest man out. You know.
Yeah.
So this is like shit. Whatever we think that we like technology that we have that, you know, can combat this, like the government's like three steps ahead of us already. Like,
oh yeah, they won't even release it unless they have a counter. I wouldn't.
Exactly. And yeah, why would they? So it's like shit, like what do you do to combat that? You know? So
true. Well, all right, GGs, let me ask you. So with all we know, what all we talked about, where does this leave the Democrats? If they've lost key voter groups, and it could be to whatever we think it is, whether it be voter fraud, intimidation, or just them just sticking on the couch and seeing mass dropout and turnout, well, what's next?
Yeah, I don't know. I give up. I think next we cry and eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream. But then after that, I think so. Here's the other deal, and the factor that we're not really looking at is the fact that Americans are dissatisfied, and we're always going to be dissatisfied. Like, this is not new. So, I mean, like, the number one thing that we have to go up against at this time is the fact that we're in a current administration where people don't trust the government anymore. Yeah. So they're going to do whatever they want to try to change that. And we're going to see a very different result after 4 years of Trump. Trump's going to go into office.
Yep.
Nothing's going to change. God only knows it's going to get worse. And then people are going to be pissed off about that. And they're going to flip everything back to a Democratic side, especially when it comes down to representatives and Senate members. You see those flip every midterm. Every midterm it flips.
They should. Because
they get in there and they do nothing. So then people go, okay, I'm going to change to the Democrat side. But then the Democrats get blocked by the Republicans and nothing happens. And they say, okay, let's give it back to the Republica. But the point, the fact is, if they have complete Republican control, they're still going to do absolutely nothing because they're Republicans. And they fight within their own party. So nothing is going to get done. Then we're going to give it back to more Democrats. But if we still have what we had in 2020, where there's a Republican majority in the House blocking Democratic issues, it's going to look like the Democrats are doing nothing. The only way things are going to change and have like some kind of progress is if we have all three Senate House representatives president again. Once we have a trifecta of Democrats in there, we can force through policies that will be better for everyone. We can get kids school lunches. We can codify Roe. We can do so much once we have that trifecta. And that's what we need to aim for in the future. So we need to be so loud about every single thing Trump touches in this upcoming thing.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to serve them their dinner. This is what they want. They're going to sit down and eat it, especially if they get the House of Representatives. If they win that, they are going to have all of these real fun policies. And they're going to find out really quickly that when you take away the Department of Education, you're not going to be able to afford to send your kid to school. They're going to give you vouchers that are worth $500 when tuition is $2,500. And you're going to have to send your kids to the slums, the very places where you are thinking you're taking your kids away from, these integrated schools, God forbid, where they're teaching critical race theories. You're going to have to send your kids into the, for lack of a better word, ghetto. You're going to have to be the person who is shit on, and that's what you're gonna have to eat, because that's what you voted for, that is what you wanted, that is what you asked for. You're gonna take it and you're gonna hate it, and they're still gonna find a way to blame Democrats, I guarantee you.
They always blame us for being too eccentric. So Gigi, same question, if we had to summarize the lessons here, what would the lessons be?
Honestly, I feel like if the country's not going to get any better until we all of us learn how to communicate a little bit better, just to talk about ideas. I feel like each side dismisses each other way too easily. When people stop communicating, that's when problems get worse, and that's when violence starts. And you know, that's not where I want to go. So that, I think the biggest lesson here is unity, honestly, because like nothing happens. Like the dark side of democracy is like it can fail in the sense that the electoral system can still elect someone that may not actually be the best for the country or for the future. So
that's why I say burn it all down.
I mean, I completely
agree. That's the solution. I think it's a good one. I don't know why we don't do it.
I don't think anybody who has been in office before the civil rights was enacted, and I don't think anybody that actually was in office before the crime bill was put into place.
Oh, the super predator bill from 1994 or 98?
94.
Yeah, I don't think anybody that's been around that time should be still influencing the government, to be completely honest. Because I feel
that's progress. A different thing for a different day. We need to definitely put in term limits. That's an obvious thing.
Absolutely.
Age limits. We need age limits.
Age limits.
Nobody over the age of 65 should be in office.
No way. Absolutely not.
I understand that.
And it's because a lot of times, my grandmother, bless her soul, she was a sweetheart, but she would say some of the dumbest, most racist shit sometimes. And it's you're set in your ways, and you're set in your ways. People.
Yeah, you grew up when they had slaves. So of course you got to pull that one.
Well, like my mother, but let me use this as an example. Okay. So my mother is 63, right?
Okay.
God love her. She has been using some form of a television remote her entire life.
Okay.
And she now is at the age where she asked me how to use the remote, how to press play and how to rewind. She says, how do you rewind? It's the same remote. It's the same. She's been around remotes literally her entire life. Firstly, basic remotes. But by the time she was 20, they had VHS players.
Yeah.
They had play and rewind buttons, babe.
Yeah, it still
has not changed. How she does not know how to do it, it's some high tech invention now.
Honestly,
I have no idea. But it's you hit that age where it just stops working, and she should not be the president either.
I was very talented with computers when I was young, but now that I'm a little older, it takes me a little bit to get down with the groove. It's I don't know what it is.
That's why I don't use Snapchat. I can't figure that out. I am a social content creator. I'm online all day, every day. I will never pick up Snapchat because that's confusing the hell out of Snapchat.
Maybe we're some goodness.
But this is
Well, here's the good news. I'm 1 year away from being presidential age. So,
I hope
in reality, I could come in and fix this in 4 years.
I want you to, because you have great insight. And I think that if you went in through it, I think that even if you and Gigi team up, vice president, president, you guys could really fix a lot of things. I mean, this is not hard, but people get there, they become selfish and,
I think that's what we need to get back to. No more career politicians.
Absolutely not.
No more businessmen. What we need to do is put everyone's name in a fucking hat, choose two names, and those are the president. Figure it out.
I think it should be a community service. I don't even think, maybe some tax benefits, maybe. No, I think it's a community service. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, you don't need to be paid. You have the house to live in. You don't need to pay rent.
No,
exactly.
I mean, the White House is your house and the vice president's house is her house or whatever. You're absolutely right.
Access to some of the most brilliant financial minds. You can just invest some money in the stock market and just play around with
just
that.
Just they do now. They get millions of dollars. They go in.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're already doing that.
Inside trading is a whole different thing. That's a different beast to conquer. There's so much going on.
Talk about it,
the government just exploiting us and we're just that's okay.
It's wild. I was thinking about it today, man, and it's wild to think about the fact that on a Senate level and a House level, the fact that we have people who make legislation who have never had a law degree.
You don't even have to have a law degree to do anything.
That's what I'm saying. The fact that these are laymen, these are people who don't understand the law, have never studied the law, become senators, and then they write the laws. And then the lawyers have to enforce the laws that they're writing. But the people who are writing the laws know nothing about the law. And whoever set up this system is crazy.
Our forefathers.
The founding fathers are freaking nuts. I don't understand why people are originalists. I don't understand why people uphold the Constitution like it's the most perfect document ever written. But
that's so many holes. We're figuring out all the holes now.
Can you imagine? They didn't think to put you can't be a criminal and run for the president.
You can't even vote and be a criminal in most states at the same time.
They made that shit a law before they made the law that you can't be a criminal and a president. They just forgot.
And then now you have the Department of Justice winding down all these trials. These are trials, indictments, and they're winding them down because the president can't be, you know, can't be prosecuted. He's the fucking president.
Well, and there's no law for that either. They're doing that out of precedent. They're doing that out of historical.
It's never happened before. What else are they going to
do? Just because they've never investigated a president for criminal processings while somebody is president elect or sitting president, then they're going to not do it this time as well, even though it's not a law. It's not even the presidential
He's the boss of the DOJ. He's the boss of the prosecutors, to be honest. And then you have the Supreme Court saying, no. You can't really touch the president. He's got some kind of immunity to everyday life. And he's good. We're good with that.
Which is another thing. Again, if Democrats play it as dirty as Republicans,
I wish they would.
I wish Joe Biden would be in there right now. And instead of being gracious and stepping down graciously, I would want him to fuck some stuff up. He has presidential immunity. He should go nuts.
He should take all the T's off all the keyboards, all the L's off the keyboards, and let them fucking figure out how to type fucking memos. You're missing L's, T's, Q's. Fuck you.
Get on their level. We need to stop being like, we are the nice ones with morals. When they go low, we go high.
No. Michelle, you're not even going to run. We love you, but you won't even run for president, so we have to go low. It is what it is. And I love Michelle. But guys, this is going to wrap up this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. A massive thank you to Jagazes. And guys, you can see Jagazes on TikTok. He has a huge following. Great politics. If you love that kind of commentary, please look him up. He's awesome. And thank you again for coming on and helping us break down what went wrong with the Democrats in the 2024 elections. Stay tuned as we keep bringing you the hard truths, the raw facts, and deep dives. Up next in our next episode, we're going to talk more of what we're usually normally into, which is going to be more Trump, actually, if you guys want to know. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. We're trying to keep you guys higher and get you on the knowledge level that you need to be on to be in a country like America. Again, thank you for tuning in to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. I've been Mr. Villain with my co-host Gigi Luigi and our special guest, Mr. Jagazes. From TikTok. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddha Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Unfold.